She has no one to show her God's love, no mother or father to wipe away the tears. She cries out in the night alone. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll go to dry that young girl's tears. I'll serve you no matter where the pathway may lead. Lord, please bury my heart. A mother grieves for her starving child. She has no shelter from the cold. Earthly provisions will ease their suffering, but who will feed their empty soul? Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll give the gospel to the suffering ones. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Lord, please bury my heart. Will you ignore these lost souls in the night? Can you hear their pleading cries? They're begging for someone to show them the way. We must go before another one dies. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. These distant voices won't fade away. I'll do your will no matter the cost. Lord, please bury my heart. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. These distant voices won't fade away. I'll do your will no matter the cost. Lord, please bury my heart. Lord, I'll give you my heart.
Thank you, Heather.
Well, certainly a joy to be able to be here and just be reminded of the fact that there are people out in our world who are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you and I to take the challenge this morning to look around and see those people who do not know Christ. It was great. We had a good group of people out yesterday. We all load up on the bus and got out, and we got a little over 1,000, just about 1,000 invitations yesterday, and that's a blessing as we're all out doing our part in our community and trying to reach right here in our local area, our Jerusalem, for the Lord Jesus. It's an honor to have Brother Brown here with us. Brother Brown is called to go to Korea as a missionary, establishing a military work in Camp Casey. And some of you, how many of you have been to Camp Casey? I think some of you guys, I think maybe some guys that told me they've been there. And he'll be establishing a work there. And so we're excited to have he and his family here. I'm going to ask him to come right now and introduce his family and then preach what God's laid on his heart. All right.
Thank you, Pastor and Church, for having us. We are the Brown family. My name is Donnie Brown. My wife is in the back, Christy, and she has my son, Micaiah, and my oldest daughter, Haley. She has, hi, bud. And then she has my youngest son, Brayson, and then my other daughter, Allison. We are missionaries to the U.S. soldiers in Korea. A lot of people think that the man is called and the family goes. No, the family is called as missionaries. It's a family group effort. It's not just a man's work. It's the whole family that makes the work work. And just thankful for my family. It seems like they're more excited about it than I am at times. And I just told them, okay, guys, come on. Let's all get excited about this for the Lord. But we are called to the U.S. soldiers in Korea. We attended West Coast Baptist College. We both attended there, went to college there. Graduated in 2013, just a year ago this past May. We've been on deputation for full time since January. We're right about 24 to 25% of our support. Just praying for God to bring that support in so we can get to Korea quickly. How many of you ever served in the military? Thank you for serving. I thought there would be more of being near a military base. I guess it just depends on what time of the service is. But thank you for your service. I was in the military on the Army from 95 to 2000. I was stationed at Camp Casey, Korea from 1998 to 1999. And while I was there, there was no church giving the gospel, nobody evangelizing. There were a couple Bible studies, but there wasn't anything there for people to learn about Jesus Christ. There wasn't anything there for them to grow as a Christian. I can tell you this, there were a lot of Satan's devices. There was a lot of darkness there. You know, if your theme for your missions conference is to reach them that are where they're dark, and or I'm sorry, to those still in darkness. A lot of people, when I tell them we're going to South Korea, they ask me, isn't South Korea a Christian nation? Well, is it the United States? We once were. There are more missionaries from other countries coming to the United States than there are preachers and church planters here. Even though South Korea may be a Christian nation as a whole, there's still, in Camp Casey, Korea, there's a city right outside there. It's called Tungdishan. There's about 70,000 folks there, not one Baptist church. Not one person giving the gospel to those folks. The military personnel there, there's 6,000 plus military soldiers, plus the workers make over 9,000 people that are on the military base there. And nobody's giving the gospel. Somebody asked, what about chaplains? Well, chaplains have their hands tied. I don't know if you know this, but they cannot go to a military installation and hand out a tract. They can't go to the commissary and say, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? They can't do that. Their hands are tied about what they can do. A lot of times we're asked, are you going to start a church on the military compound? No, we're not. We want to start a church off the military base so the military doesn't control what we can and cannot preach. We want to preach the whole counsel of God. Right now, the government is against a lot of what we believe. And with the Lord's help and the Lord's guidance and the Lord's protection, we're going to preach the whole counsel of God while we're in Korea. Our goal in Korea is to plant a Baptist church to evangelize. Tell them about Jesus Christ. That's to tell the soldiers about Jesus Christ and to tell the Korean nationals about Jesus Christ. There are many churches that are designed for military missions around the world, but if that base closes, that church closes. What about those nationals that are there? We can't just go there and just focus on the United States Army. We have to go there and focus on every soul that's there that's going to die and go to hell. We believe that if the Lord tarries and we get there, it's the Lord's will for us to be there. When I was stationed here in 98, 99, I told myself, I am never coming back to Camp Casey, Korea. I was like, no, that's it. I even yelled it. I am never coming back here. And God just yelled back, yeah, right. You never say never to God. But, you know, I've been running from it. And I thought, I was born in Mannheim, Germany. Both myself and my wife are both military brats. She's more of a military brat because she came from the Air Force. No offense. She was born in Madrid, Spain. I was born in Mannheim, Germany. We both have dual citizenship. It's like, okay, that's made. We're going to go to Germany. We're going to go to Madrid, Spain. But God in my heart had planted in my heart since I was in Korea, nobody's given the gospel here. But it's Korea. It's Camp Casey. Some of you all have been in the military. Even you go to TDY to a country for 6 months to a year, you know how you miss your family. I didn't have kids at the time, but when I was there, I was really, really burdened about what's going on there. A few facts, and I'll get into the message because the time is short. Are some of our ministries that we want to do? Well, first, we want to evangelize. We want to educate. We want to teach them. We want to disciple them while we're there. And then we also want to equip them. You know, I'd rather have a soldier come back from Camp Casey, Korea, that's come to our church, to come back to a church like this and say, Pastor, plug me in. I'm ready to work. Where can I work at? Plug me in. Instead of coming back saying, Pastor, I need counseling. I'm sure a pastor's got enough stuff he's got to deal with besides somebody coming from Camp Casey saying, I need counseling. We want to also, speaking of counseling, we want to provide counseling for the soldiers for PTSD. PTSD is 1 in 4 that admit that they have PTSD. How about those that don't admit it? Suicide. Suicide is rampant in the military right now. Just in 2012, the in the root of our war, we had 279 people that died from combat. That same year, we had 350 die from suicides, almost one a day in active duty. There's 22 veterans a day that die from suicide. Did you know there's 900 programs, over 900 programs for them for suicide? Folks, they don't need a program, they need a person. They need Jesus Christ. As God called us, just like in the music, the song we just heard just a few minutes ago, he's calling us to go to a place that's Camp Casey, Korea. He's calling us to go. We also want to provide counseling for substance abuse, for marital. Anybody that's in the military know that all that compounds in the military. So we're praying that God will use us to counsel the soldiers that are there. One of the things one of the ministries we want to have is an orphanage. We're asking God to provide an opportunity for us, for these soldiers, these kids that are there. See, the Korean people, they do have abortions. But the reason why abortions aren't so high there is because when you have an abortion, you have to register that child. They're Confucianists. They believe that if they're out of wedlock, if you have a child out of wedlock, it's like a taboo. It's a bad omen. It's a bad thing for them to do. So they don't even register the kids. They'll have them full term and they'll put them on a street corner, a baby, an infant. We're praying that God will open the door for us to have an orphanage there and even maybe an adoption program, an adoption agency. Outreach to programs for soldiers, for families. You know, it's interesting. A lot of families want to go to Camp Casey in Korea. It's an unsponsorship tour. That means it's a hardship tour. For a year, these soldiers are going to Camp Casey, Korea, and are away from their family. But there are families that go with them. They pay their way to go there with them. Well, 95% of the time, we're out in the field. We're out doing our job. So there's families in Korea that have no idea how to speak English, or speak Korean. They don't know where to go to get their food. They don't know they don't have any way to socialize there. We want to provide that option for them, for those families, for the children. So we're just praying that God will use us as we go to Korea. You know, do you realize that God uses every circumstance in our life for His glory? Now, it's up to us to be an honor or dishonor to Him. But He uses every aspect in our lives for His glory. Don't waste those opportunities. Don't waste them. I was at West Coast, and I was just, John, right? Nate, I'm sorry. I know people by their face, and I saw them, I was like, I know you. You graduated in 2011, I was like, that's probably why, because I just know you briefly. But serving at West Coast has been a great opportunity. You know, Pastor was talking about going soul winning yesterday. Do you realize soul winning is not just go door knocking? It's not just a scheduled time. It's great to have a scheduled time. You should always have tracks with you. You should always be able to have an opportunity whenever you're going anywhere. Walmart, I can't stand Walmart. But go to Walmart, go to the gas station. Did you know every one of you have an influence on somebody that nobody else here has an influence on? One of you like going to 7-Eleven, one of you like going to Chevron. But you go there every morning to get gas. You go there every time to get coffee. You have an opportunity to witness those that are around you every day. Are you? Pastor, I challenge you to. Did you realize that somebody gets, it's a proven fact that around seven times somebody has to get a track before they decide to come to church? Seven times. That means you have to either go to their door or meet them on the street or whatever. Seven times for them to realize, oh, wow, there's a church that actually cares here. Seven times. I challenge you to stay faithful in the Lord. Stay faithful in soul winning. Stay faithful in giving out tracts. If you open your Bible, it's the 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Before we get started, I have a question for you. Do you want God to use you? Before He can use you, you have to be saved. God's not going to use the lost person. You're not a child of His. There's two types of families in this world, Satan's family and God's family. If you're not in God's family, you're in Satan's family. Sorry to say, that's what the Bible says. But the Bible says you can be adopted into His family by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, by knowing that He died for your sins. He's the only way to get to heaven. And you placing your trust in Him faithfully, you can get to heaven. But on that side, we didn't just come here and just get saved and just sit around and not do nothing. He's called all of us into ministry. Now, you may not be a missionary. You may not be a pastor, assistant pastor, a youth director. You may not be that. But He's called each one of you into ministry. How much do you want to be used in the ministry is up to you. But I want to show you three types of people that God can use in the ministry. And biblical examples how we can know that. If you look at verse 26, chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised God hath chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray as we're getting into your word, Lord, that we realize, Lord, what type of people you want us to be, that you can use, and help us to be those kind of people, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds as we get into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The foolish. Now, if you look at your word, it's not talking about that you are a fool. It talks about the world calls you a fool. Look at verse 27. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world. The pastor's telling me y'all have a missions conference before, and you may go back to a missions conference. You come to a missions conference from Monday through Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday through Thursday, Wednesday, people are going to say you're a fool going to church on a Tuesday night. You're foolish for going on a Monday night. There's Monday night football on. You know that, right? Why are you going to, you're foolish. Why are you going to church? Because what matters to you, what matters to God, is more important than what happens in this world. But foolish, the foolish things. Two men, David. You know the story, right? He goes to Goliath and he comes to, he's not even going there for battle. He's bringing his brother's pizza. He's bringing them lunch. He's like, well, how's the battle going? He comes to lunch and his brother's like, what are you doing here? I know why you're here. You're trying to cause mischief. You're trying to cause something. And then Goliath comes out. He defies God. What does David do? Is there not a cause? Come on, guys. We have God on our side. Who cares about this giant? God used little David. And the thing is, David wasn't my size. I was more like Goliath's size. David wasn't my size. He was a teenager. He wasn't even an adult yet. He hasn't even lived his life yet. But he's seen what God can do. He said, I won't win this victory, but God will win this victory. God's going to deliver that man, that giant in my hands, just like he did a bear and a lion. And he did. But look at all, can you imagine all the Israelites? Really? A teenager going to come in here and do this? That's foolish. And the king saw, okay, come on, but where's my armor? Tried to put his armor on. It was like me putting my jacket on the youngest kid here. It's just like rags. He says, I can't use this. I haven't proven this. He says, I'll take care of it. I'll do it the way of God. I'll just trust in God and God will take care of it. God delivered that giant in his hands. What giants do you have right now that God can deliver into your hands? What giants right now does this world call foolish and you think, you know what, I don't care what the world calls it. I want God to use me. Like I was talking about, anytime I meet somebody, a lot of you here, I ask if you've been to the military, you've been to Korea. I always ask that. Have you ever been to Camp Casey, Korea? There were a few men I asked that, and they're like, yeah, I've been to Camp Casey. I hated it there. But guess what? I'm going back. Are you a fool? Are you crazy? It's like, you know what? If I wasn't doing this, I'd say the same thing. Why are we going to Korea? Folks, I'm not going to Korea for my benefit. I'm going for their benefit. I have a Savior that can save their souls. How dare me hold that back from them? God has called us to go there and plant a church to give them the gospel. Foolish. How about Gideon? Gideon, I'm going to have to go through quickly here. Gideon, fighting the Midianites. He was hiding from them. The angel comes up and says, my valor, you're a mighty man. He's like, I'm hiding. How am I mighty and valiant? There's no way. And then God says, well, I want you to leave my army. What does he do? Let's go. No, he doesn't do that. He says, really? Let me put a fleece out. Actually, no. The first time he says, let me put make you a meal before you go talk to an angel. And he makes a meal, and the angel consumes it in a fire. He says, okay. But he still doesn't believe him. How many times do we doubt God? Over and over and over again. So he says, okay, Lord, if you really want me to go, I'll put out the fleece. If everything else is dry and the fleece is wet, I'll do it. God proves him. That should be enough, right? Gideon says, no. Okay, let's do the opposite way now. Put the fleece out. If it's dry and everything else is wet, God does it. So now he's like, okay, I'm ready to go. God's on my side. Let's go. Let's do this. He tells all the men, let's go to war. God says, hold on. You have too many. Now, the chapter before that, in chapter 7, right before that, it talks about how many men were actually there. They couldn't count the Midianites. There were so many, they were like, they said there's too many to count. They only had 32,000. And God said, no, it was too many. God said, the reason why I want you to do that is because if you win with this many people, you're going to say you did it. I want the glory. So he said, cut them down. So he cuts down 10,000. He says, nope, still too many. Now, about this time, I can imagine Gideon going, God, you told me to do this. Please let me do it my way. God said, no, I want you to do it my way. Listen to me. Just obey me. It comes down to where they only have 300 men. And all of y'all have been in the military, I can guarantee you God's way of doing it wouldn't be our way of doing it. We'd be like, give me the bomber, give me the M16, give me the M60, let's go get the bazooka, let's go to war. No, he said, I want you to take a ram's horn, a pitcher, and a torch. That's it. Not even a sword. He says, listen to what I'm saying, and we'll win. You're going to win this war. They're going to surround the camp, 100 men on each side of the camp. He's blowing the ram's horn, break the pitchers, and they blow the horns, and they raise the torches. People start going crazy, kill each other. God can win the victory, folks. He can win the victory in your life. Will you let him? Will you be a fool for the Lord? Look at the next verse, the same verse, the weak. When he calls the weak, he confounds the mighty. The weak. So many verses, so many people here I can go through. How about Caleb? Now, folks, when 40 years in the wilderness, he was already 45 years old. He was 85 years old when he got to the promised land. Now, folks, when he got to the promised land, he didn't go like this. Okay, I'm here. Praise the Lord. Or our days had a little machine they're driving around on, running people over. He didn't do that. He came in and said, give me that mountain. I want that mountain. Guess who's on that mountain? Goliath's cousins, giants. An 85-year-old man going in there taking them out. Why? Because the Lord was on his side. Folks, when I was at camp, when I was in West Coast, I'm 40 years old. I'm going to class, and somebody asking me, are you one of the professors? I just laugh at them. I said, my head hurts. I just got out of class. No, I'm not a professor. But with that said, folks, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. God can use you. But are you willing to be weak and foolish for him? Are you willing to be weak and foolish? How about Moses? Moses even admitted to God, how can you use me? I can't even talk. I had a speech impediment. Whatever it was he had a problem with, God said, you know what? You're right. No, he didn't say that. He said, Moses, who made your mouth? Who made you? I made you. Just trust me. Just trust me. Folks, if we could trust Jesus Christ for our salvation to escape from hell and get to heaven, why can't we trust him with our finances? Why can't we trust God with a simple situation as going door knocking or handing out a tract or talking to somebody about the same salvation, the same hope that we have? Why can't we trust him for that? You realize that's called dying to yourself? A lot of people think that's weak. You teenage kids, you may go, maybe going to, how many go to public school? I guarantee you stand up to somebody there and you tell them about Jesus Christ, they're going to look at you like you're weak. Why are you even talking about that? You may even get in trouble. But is that trouble worth God? Is that trouble worth telling somebody else that they can escape hell? You bet. Are you weak? Are you weak for the Lord? Are you foolish for the Lord? The last part here is the base and despised. The base and despised. Look at verse 28. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised had God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Folks, when I got here to California, actually to Northern California, we're kind of stationed out of Manteca, and there was a pastor that was starting a church in Oakland. And he asked me to come over to preach. I'm thinking, okay, bulletproof vest, Kevlar, I got my equipment out there, put it on. Let's go soul winning, let's go. But this guy asked me to come and preach at his service. I said, okay, and to be honest with you, it was a dying work. So I get in there to preach, and there's this homeless guy comes in. And he smelled the place up, it was bad. He hasn't taken a bath probably for 6 months. And he comes in and asks, do you have coffee and donuts? She said, yes, it's in the back, go ahead and get it. He goes and gets it and leaves. Folks, that's the despised. That's the despised of this world. This world can care less about those people. The base and despised. Two characters in the Bible. Not two characters, two people. See, folks, we need to be careful when we come to the Word of God. These aren't just stories. These are facts. This is history. This is his story. We talk about Noah's Ark. We talk about Caleb. We talk about the woman at the well. These aren't just fictional characters, folks. These are real people. What's interesting about these two people that I'm going to talk about, the debased and despised, the woman at the well. We have all no idea what her name is. That doesn't matter what her name is. She met Jesus and Jesus saved her. What did she do? She took her water and left. No, she didn't. She left her water pot and told the rest of the city, let me tell you what this man told about myself. And then the city came out and was like, I don't believe you. They come out and guess what happened? Revival breaks out. You know why? Because one woman was foolish enough to go out and tell people about what, everybody knew who she was. That's why she went to midday. She didn't want to be ridiculed. But you know what? They listened when they said, she said, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. The Messiah is here. Let me tell you what he told me about myself. And then the city came out. Folks, you realize Samaria and the Jews, the Samaritans and the Jews don't like each other. The best scenario I could put for this, you remember the Zimmerman case? It's like that, but to the 10th degree. They can't stand each other. Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria for that one woman. The other base in despise. How about the maniac at Gadara? You know how merciful Jesus is? Listen to this. The demons that were in him was a legion. That's many, many devils. Many, 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 many evil spirits that were in this man. And they asked God. They beg him. Don't cast us into the deep. What's the deep? I don't know. I don't even know what it is. He said, don't cast us in the deep. Cast us in the swine. If Jesus has enough mercy on the devils and the wicked, wicked spirits, how much more does he have on you? He loves you. You're his own. He wants the best for you. But when was the last time you did something for him? When was the last time you were foolish for him? When was the last time you were weak for God? When was the last time that you were based and despised from this world and this world said God can never use you? You know why I'm glad I can use this verse, the base and despised? Because I should not be here. I should not be doing this right now. You know, you hear people say, God, I'm almost done, Pastor. You hear people saying that God can use, God, if God can use me, he can use you. When somebody says that, I want to say, tell me, prove it to me. I can prove it to you. When I was a teenager, my dad would come home. He was a drill sergeant for 3 years in the Army. He took me out fishing with him when I was a teenager. When a drill sergeant tells you to do something, you don't question it. So my dad takes me out. He has a case of beer, and he hands me a beer when I'm a teenager. He says, drink it. I'm drinking at the age of 12, 13 years old. I should be an alcoholic right now. You know, praise the Lord, my dad, God delivered my dad from alcoholism, from that demon. Folks, that is a demon. I praise the Lord, he delivered from him. There's a friend of mine I went to school with. He's got 3 clubs right now in Atlanta. He's invited me out. Folks, I should not be here right now. But by the grace of God, I am. By the grace of God, I am the base and despised. By the grace of God, I am the foolish for him. I am weak for him. But folks, it's not about me. It's about him. Look at the verse on 29. Let's go back up. The base things of the world, things which are despised, had God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's why he doesn't get the noble. That's why he doesn't get King Edward to be his servant, because the king would say, look at my empire, look what I built. God said, no, put it on me. Folks, I challenge you. Let God use you. Pastor.
So our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, please. Scripture says, as we continue in that passage, it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And the thought is this, you're not in Christ Jesus because you're a religious person or because you are a Baptist or a Catholic or whatever it is. You are not in him because you are a good person. You're in him because of Jesus. Has there ever been a time in your life when you recognize that you're a sinner? You can't deal with a sin in your life. And you might have tried. And even in your goodness, the Bible says that you're imperfect. Yet in all of that, the Bible says this, that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago to die on the cross for your sins and mine. And by calling on Jesus, he is the only hope that we can be forgiven, because it's in him. So today, if you're here without Christ, and I want to urge you, I want to plead with you that you would meet Jesus today right where you are. He'll take you just as you are. Or maybe you're a Christian today and God has been speaking to your heart about something in your life. You've allowed the excuse, well, I'm afraid, or I can't do this or can't do that. Whatever it is, pray you'll respond as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart.